This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 687. I'm XV. Brian is on assignment or at cookout. We're not sure which. Either way, though, he wasn't able to be here with us tonight, so I'm taking over, as I sometimes do. Sadly, minutes before showtime, actually literally like 3 seconds before showtime, Matt fell off the call and hasn't been seen since. So hopefully he'll be back with us at some point during the show. But for now, we're flying down two people. And fortunately, though, we do still have some of our cast with us. So we have on audio Headmaster Don.
Hello.
Who I've called on first because he's not muted at this moment.
Good move.
Yeah. Diecast is here with us.
Hey, everybody.
We've got John DeLuna.
Heyo.
Oh, Matt's back.
All right.
For the moment, anyway.
We weren't sure if you might have like, gone to the cookout with Kilby.
That actually kind of sounds like a better idea than doing the show tonight.
I know, right? And we have Rob Clay.
Hi.
So, Matt, you got back just in time for introductions. I already introduced you in absentia since you, were gone. So we're done with that now. So yeah, Kilby's not here this week, so it's going to be the normal kind of chaos when I host, so everybody strap in for the next 3 hours or so. Before we get into the usual time-consuming content of what we got this week, we'll go over a couple of updates here. So, of course, if you're not already right now, come join our Discord server at tfradio.net/discord and chat and interact with us during the live show, and, stay the rest of the week, too. We're pretty cool, most of us. I mean, I wouldn't say everybody's cool, but everybody's welcome in the Discord. Everybody's welcome no matter what I think, or no matter how I plead with Kilby. No, I kid. Mm-hmm. I haven't asked him to ban anybody yet. So on the Patreon side of things, we actually have the first two episodes up now of our apparently still untitled This Week in History podcast. That's exclusively for patrons. It's based on a legacy Radio Free Cybertron segment that we retired a few years back. Where basically we go and toss around a subject from, was it a year, 5 years, 10 years back in history for the given week that the show will be premiering on. And it's just an interesting way to talk about some of the things that have happened in the past of the fandom and the hobby and the franchise in general. So that's going to be a weekly podcast exclusively for our patrons. And as I understand, the first recording has been done and several episodes were produced from that. So there's already content booked for quite a few weeks now. So if you're interested in getting in on that or other patron exclusive podcast content, because we're adding more and more of that all the time, definitely check out tfradio.net/Patreon or patreon.com/TFradio. They both go to the same place. We have various tiers you can join at different levels of financial support. And all that helps to do great things like keeping the show running and also paying me and Rob for our contributions to the RFC News service, which if you want to keep up with the RFC News Desk, head over to tfradio.net/news. You can subscribe to the News Desk podcast. That should have its own podcast feed somewhere in the menagerie. I'm not exactly sure where to push a button to hit that, but it's a podcast, so it's got an RSS feed for sure. I think that's about all there is to cover in the intro of the show. That's all I see in the show notes, really, and some of that I just ad-libbed also, which is why this sounds like a mess. So it's my understanding going into the show that it's a little bit of a slow week for getting anything, so I'm going to go ahead and go first, because I just have one thing of note here, which is I got my third double dealer.
How'd this one turn?
Uh-oh.
I haven't opened it yet. I didn't want to be that depressed before the show when it turns out to be just as defective as the other two. So my first double dealer...
Did you accidentally order like I do?
No. So the first double dealer I've already sent back to Amazon for a refund, because I'd replaced that with another one from Amazon, which was equally defective, but kind of in different ways. That one's going to go back too if this one's any better, or if not, this one's going to go back to Walmart. I did at least get this one for less than the lower Amazon price, which is not even in effect anymore. This one ran about $30. You may recall Walmart last week or the week before briefly had double dealers priced at like $29.97 on their website. So I was lucky to catch that while that was in progress, and number three. I actually...
So, XV.
Yes.
You are not a... I wouldn't call you maybe a fan of Double Dealer. Like, you're not waving the pennant, so to speak, but you have tried three times now to get Double Dealer. So what keeps you coming back? Because I have yet to open mine. So, like, there's some kind of, like, spell it has on you.
At this point, it's a matter of principle. I'm going to have a good one, damn it.
Whether you want it or not.
I mean, I want a copy of it I can like. I haven't gotten to it yet, but I'm sure one exists. No, I'm not, like, a specific fan of Double Dealer, but, like, I'm sort of screwed in that in Master Force, Double Clouder was in Hasbro Toy Double Dealer colors, where the Master Force Double Dealer toy was its own unique deco, basically. So, like, I like Master Force a lot, so this is going to kind of do double service.
Mm-hmm. Double duty.
Double dealer. But, yeah, that's all I got this week. I found that today and was able to get the price matched. Matt, did you have anything?
Yes. I got an early birthday present from Brian. He sent me a couple of Slither Fangs.
When's your birthday?
He found a target for me. Early next month.
Oh.
So, I love them. And as I explained to Brian earlier, they are going to go with my Transformers Club Serpento R and my fire team of Vipers.
Oh, very nice.
And thank you very much to Headmaster Don. He found me the Dino Charge Black Ranger Lightning Collection. Yeah. Very
twice.
Nice.
I found it twice because I went back to get it and it was gone. And then I checked the next day and it was laying on the deck plate at the Target on the clearance row. Just laying on the deck plate.
Is that hard to find?
It's a Target exclusive.
It's a Target exclusive and I don't have Targets anywhere near me.
Gotcha.
And also the fact is we didn't even know that was even coming out until it was found, right, Matt? I mean, there was
Until it hit shelves, nobody knew it existed.
Yeah. And that's the only one I've...
Yeah, it does have, you know, the missing paint apps that Dino Charge Gold had, like, on his gloves and everything. But the head sculpt is dead on. Like, they did a really good job with that one. And it has a couple little yellow flecks of paint on the helmet that I'm going to have to take off. But other than that, the deco on it's pretty good.
Except for the belt buckle being inverted.
Well.
And I just ruined that toy for Matt.
Way to go.
The actor likenesses...
Not really.
Go ahead.
It's going to take more than that to ruin it because, you know, all of these Lightning Collection figures have things you have to look past already and just accept.
Yeah, so the actor likenesses on the figures from recent series all seem to be pretty good. It's when they have to go, like, back and fashion a likeness from someone, how they looked 20 years ago, that they seem to run into more problems.
Well, even going back to the Time Force Red, they got a pretty good Jason Font head going, so... That was impressive. And the Lost Galaxy Red, they got a pretty good Leo.
I was going to say, Jason Font, at least, like, from the most recent appearance I remember, has not aged very much at all.
No, not really.
That man has good genes.
Yes, he does. The Mighty Morphin era are definitely the roughest head sculpts, though, just going that far back.
Yeah, I thought the Trini head sculpt looked okay.
It's not bad. Probably the best one is the Jason, the Austin St. John. But
that man has aged a bit more noticeably, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on. It was a big Marvel Legends week. So I found the classic Spider-Man series, and I got a Green Goblin.
Ooh.
And he... Like, it is a pretty creepy goblin head going on. Wow. It's mildly disturbing. I really like it.
Disturbing. I love that.
It's disturbing. I want to buy it. But it looks really good.
And it came with a Norman Osborn head, too, which does not fit really well on that body. Like, it's a really, really tight fit. But I just happened to have an older release of the Green Goblin that I got from Miguel while back, and it fits wonderfully on there.
Yeah,
nice. And Yeah, and this has the darker purple and green, so this goes on my Thunderbolt shelf. So it's just absolutely wonderful. And today in the mail came Electro from the same series. Nice.
Nice.
And like, I went out for cat food the other day. I just wanted cat food. And I made the mistake of walking down the toy aisle and the entire freaking Marvel Legends Strong Guy wave was there. They had just cracked open the case, obviously, because all eight figures were there. And I needed seven of them to build Strong Guy, so that was an expensive day.
That looks so good.
Yeah, Strong Guy is really, really great. Like, I love this so much. And Hasbro, I am one proper Wolfsbane away from an entire Peter David X-Factor team. One Wolfsbane. That's just fix that.
So we know what figure they're not making anytime in the next 5 years. Got it?
Yeah. So it was not a strong wave. Like, It hurt buying some of those figures. It's a very 50% wave. Like, I got a good Warpath and Sunspot for my X-Force shelf and a Black Tom Cassidy to go with the Juggernaut. And the Maverick from Weapon X is a good figure. I'm not, you know, I have no sentimental attachment to the character, but it's a good figure. But sadly, I also ended up with whoever this is. I have no idea. Shiklaw? I don't know. Deadpool affiliation, and I don't care that much about Deadpool, so naturally I ended up with two of them. One in blue and yellow, and a pirate for some reason.
The pirate is hysterical. I love that Deadpool.
Well, I know what you're getting in the mail then. One down, two to go.
I got a giant Deadpool head.
And I bought the last remaining piece off of eBay to finish my Sauron Build-A-Figure.
Ooh, isn't nice. He nice, too? He is so nice.
Yes. And his cool wingspan is massive. That's got to be a good 14 inches across, if not more.
That's what she said?
And I think that's everything I got this week.
So, I've never bought a whole wave of Marvel Legends at once before. How much does it hurt spending $140 in one pass on those?
If I had only spent $140, I'd let you know, but it was, you know, more than that.
Ooh. Wasn't it seven figures? Okay, we might have lost Matt again.
Yeah, I think the sheer weight of the price he paid has killed his internet.
I will take pride in that, but also regret. So, Diecast, why don't you tell us about this head you got?
Oh, I did get the full-size Deadpool head that apparently is app-enabled and works with your phone and stuff like that. And I just lost. So one of the things I got, where are you? Oh, here he is. Megatron, which is the Magic Square one. He has the trigger on the buttocks. So, but he's pretty symmetrical other than his cannon, which is pretty cool. He comes with two very tiny, which that's what I just lost. I don't know where they went. Very tiny magnets. Which I don't know what they go to or where they're supposed to go. And then it also comes with a light and a battery that I've never, ever seen before. It's a CR311 3-volt battery, and you put it in this light, and it lights up.
That's bright.
Yeah, and you can put it anywhere in Megatron's areas. And then the battery actually comes in, like, it looks like it's for a fishing lure. Like, there's a fish on the packaging. So I think this is a battery for a fishing lure light. I'm not really... Like I said, I was shocked.
Yeah. Diecast, those small magnets, because Magic Square has also made the tape 4-pack, that's made to put your laser beak on, like, Megatron's arm. Because there's some metal, like the metal pins and stuff, in the Magic Square cassettes.
Oh, well, yeah, there's a metal pin right on his arms. So
yes, yeah. So those magnets are made to put, like laser beak on his arm, and then you can do the same thing with Soundwave. So you've got some options because I believe the Magic Square 4-pack of cassettes comes with 4 magnets. and that's what they're for, is to put them on your other Magic Square figures.
Yeah, well, good thing you mentioned that, Don.
Good segue?
Segue, because I also got the Magic Square Soundwave and the cassettes. So they're still in bubble wrap, but I swear it's them. It's the cassettes.
We can just barely see it.
We can see
it,
them through the bubble wrap.
Yeah, yeah. So, sorry, I should have prepped better. Yes, but I did find the magnets, too.
You had one job.
They're very, very tiny magnets. Yeah, so I was confused why there were two little tiny magnets in the box. I didn't know if they went in his feet or where they went. So, trying to think. Where is the other thing? Oh, there it is. I also got the Transform Element Mirage.
Huh.
Which was a QC nightmare. I think I got all the QC problems fixed that I had, other than like paint scratches on the wing. But most of it was like pins not in the correct place. I had a pin that was punched through the knee joint, not at the correct hole, so they just made another hole, and his one leg was shorter than the other. And then there is a problem with the hips that everyone has. It's a misassembly error where the hips are too long and you can't transform the figure into vehicle mode. So I did put a fixed video on RFC Reviews, tfradio.net/reviews, if you want to see that fixed video, if you're going to pick up this Mirage. And once I fixed all the problems with it, it's a pretty nice Mirage, but it was very frustrating in the beginning.
And that was Transform Element, you said?
Yeah, that was Transform Element.
All right, crossing them off the list.
It's a shame, because I really like their Optimus Prime, but like I said, a lot of the problems I had on this figure were not common other than the hip fix, which I did the video for. So, other than that, I got some Star Wars carbonized stormtroopers, and I got the Deadpool head, which was, I think I played with it for 5 minutes and then put it down.
Urge to make jokes, but will resist. Didn't you also spend an obscene amount of money on some Power Rangers?
Yeah, Matt made me buy Power Rangers. Psycho Rangers that I had two of already. I keep thinking three, but I guess it's because I got green, the Green Ranger. Yeah,
Green doesn't come in the box set.
Yeah, and he's not in the box set. So at least I only had to buy a two-pack to get the red, which was crazy. So now I got a red Power Ranger that I don't want, and I got an extra red Psycho Ranger. And then these Psycho Rangers are like, they're like cockroaches between Bandai and Hasbro, because Bandai couldn't give us all of them, but they gave us some of them. And then Hasbro started to give us some of them and then just dropped them all on us. So now I have about, what, I have at least three reds between Bandai and Hasbro.
Wow.
Thank you, Hasbro.
Yeah, three reds, three blues, and two blacks, and two greens.
Yeah.
I forgot Bandai also did green.
Which
Bandai also did a Silver Ranger, so if Hasbro ever gets around to that, we'll have two of those.
I don't know if I have all those. I might have missed some of those, thankfully, so maybe I didn't get Bandai.
The Bandai green and yellow were convention exclusives. I think one was SDCC and one might have been New York.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I'm kind of done with Psycho Rangers for a little bit.
Until the new Silver comes out.
Me too. Me too, because I have them all.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't think I'm going to get that Psycho Ranger pack because I don't want to spend $100 on Lightning Collection figures this time.
Well, I mean, it's five $20 figures, so...
I don't want to buy that many of them at this time. But at least I only paid like $10 for the Lost Galaxy Psycho Red 2-pack and then like $5 for the single Psycho Blue. So even if I do rebuy those to get the other three at some later point, it's not like I'll have even, you know, paid the equivalent of one extra figure for the two I have surplus.
Yeah, and Lost Galaxy is a good season, so it's worth it to have Leo.
Yeah. It would have been, like, I don't know even how to make this joke because it's kind of obtuse. Maybe I should just, like, give up on it before I start.
That's the one I considered the power, the Charlie Brown Power Ranger, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a waste.
That's the thing in the fandom. Oh, the suits are god awful. They're terrible, but it's a good show.
I don't mind the suits that much. The stripe pattern across the chest is kind of silly, but there's worse suits like Lightspeed.
The colors have a good bit to do with it. I personally think the green suit is one of the most god awful, hideous Ranger suits ever. But blue and red don't look that bad. It's just a thing of the color with that design. Pink also looks bad.
Maybe it's a contrast thing.
Maybe.
Chris, did you just insult Lightspeed Rescue?
I said the suits don't look good. The Ranger suits.
Okay. Okay. All right. It's okay. It's okay.
They were in a string of really bad costume designs. There were a good couple years in a row.
It's the same complaint I have with Tokyuger, kind of. Like, the Ranger suits aren't really that good, but, you know, a lot of the stuff around it is fine.
Well, I not to get off on a tangent, but I think they did the suit simple because of who the Tokyugers actually are, to avoid spoilers. They would be simple designs.
I think the Tokyuger suits were kept simple because of the color line changing gimmick that they abandoned after episodes. I think that probably has more to do with it from a toy perspective. Because they did, Bandai Japan did make a set of the three main male Tokyugers that you could switch the numbers in them to imitate the color swap gimmick. So having Brian, he should have been here if he had a problem with this. Like, every time I host a show, I try to do something that will make him regret leaving me to host the show. Because that discourages him from doing it again soon. See, yeah, well, it's all part of the plan.
Either way, it's better than me hosting, so.
Yeah, isn't it funny how nobody even floated out as a possibility this week, Diecast? Okay, so I believe...
The self-preservation instinct of the podcast is strong.
Okay, so John informed us in our show notes that he does not have anything this week, so we'll skip past him. Rob?
Only thing I got was Star Wars Art of the Rise of Skywalker art book off of tfradio.net/Amazon. That was $15, and for a hardcover art book, that's pretty great.
Oh, yeah.
And contents are pretty decent as well. I mean, however a Star Wars movie turns out, you can always count on there being a lot of really good concept art. So it's definitely worth it on those terms.
Nice. Don, I think you're the only one left.
I ain't found nothing.
Well, that was anticlimactic.
Yeah, I mean, nothing's turned up locally. Nothing's coming in online. The only thing I've got online, I've got to send back to Amazon because it came in an undamaged box, completely crushed. So I ain't got nothing.
What was it?
It was that Studio Series Roadbuster that I mentioned last week. I'm still trying to get. I had them send me the label because I have no working printer and the libraries are all still closed around here. Mm-hmm. So I had to blow the dollar to get them to send me a label to send it back because there's no way to print off a label at this point.
Do you have like an Office Depot near you?
We do, but it's not really convenient to get to.
Oh, okay. Because like, so they'll print you single black and white sheets for between 8 and 20 cents.
Yeah. I'd have to actually go into town and go kind of opposite of the way of where I go to work just to get there. So
okay,
it's really not.
I get
It's easier just to spend the buck and have them send me the label.
Yeah. No, I mean, convenience definitely does factor into, you know, price versus not price or something.
Yeah. But besides, I used like my Amazon. I had like $1.52 on my Amazon reward points. And so it's, you know, it balanced out.
So you Donanomics, your return label is what you're trying to explain to us?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk news on that baffling, bizarre note. So Diecast, you should be into this. but I have to read this exactly as I wrote it. HasLab Unicron third update willed into existence by John DeLuna. So if you weren't here with us last week, John DeLuna did complain that there hadn't been a HasLab Unicron project update on Hasbro Pulse in a while. And wouldn't you know it, the very next day.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
It's almost like he knew it was coming.
Ooh.
Oh, conspiracy theory. No, I'm afraid I didn't. But I guess like every good marketing VP I have in my gut, it's time, boys. The time's up. It's time to post the blog, guys. It's time to market this thing that everybody's already paid for. Can I just say one quick thing about this?
And absolutely. Then
yeah, so the theme of this one was basically packaging and then some discussion around the instruction book. So first, as somebody who's like worked on catalogs and various like technical documents and stuff like that, it's over 30 pages, I understand. And the instruction book, and they had to basically like
32, I think.
Yeah, something like that, 32. And then they also had to redo, it sounded like practically all the images at the last minute because of how the toy comes out of the box. They had to rework just about everything in the instruction booklet when they found out that it was, I guess, packed differently than they were told, which is fun. But I want to say that they have my deepest sympathies, because that is a nightmarish task to put together a 32-page book of any kind, let alone step-by-step instructions, which apparently take an hour to execute.
Oh, 50 minutes.
50 minutes. Oh, 50 minutes to an hour.
My bad. Yes. My bad. 50 minutes. Anyway, my only other thought on that was, so all that was interesting and I shed a tear for them. But the other thing that was interesting is like, I felt I should have stopped the video, the unboxing video effectively that they had. I should have stopped it halfway because I feel like I've been spoiled. I feel like I spoiled myself watching that whole video because they did everything. They took it. Like, I know exactly how it's going to come out of the box now. It's my fault. I should have hit pause. I should have backed away.
You know,
but I did.
You know, there is a possibility that the factory is going to change up how it's packaged in that box again on both you and on Hasbro. Just, you know, because.
Yes. Yes.
No, because I'm pretty sure the way it looks.
That's pretty much the way it's going to come.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't see them redoing it. They got the heavy part on bottom, the light stuff on top. I mean, it makes sense the way it's packaged.
Yeah. Diecast, thoughts?
Oh, I got a lot of them. And John, I want your opinion on them. They said in the update that the colors they're still working on, because the yellows, they use Bumblebee as the reference, that yellows sometimes don't match between the different colors of plastics that they have to use. I liked the rings the best, which were the most orange. I thought they looked good, and I think they're trying to match them to the yellow just because they kept talking about Bumblebee.
Oh, man, I hope not. Most of what we saw in that sample was like orange. Like, his body was leaning toward orange, the rings were leaning toward orange, and only a few parts I would like call definitely yellow. So if they're trying to make them yellow, I'm super sad.
Those flexible spikes were yellow. And some reason I feel like they're trying to match everything to those flexible spikes. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm sad that we just lost Matt, but I was going to ask him if I could say it anyway. We were talking about, you know, he was like, oh, did you see the update? And I was like, yeah, but I didn't read through the whole thing. He's like, oh, check the end. You can fit a person in the box. And I was like, well, that's probably good, because I might end up living in that box when two of them show up on my doorstep.
Oh, see, yeah, it's even better. You have a split level house.
I mean, you can just tell your significant other that it's a new mini fridge or something. It's a small appliance.
Yeah, because you know, like, I still feel like there's going to be another box around that box.
Did you see the size of that box?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Went over that.
Yeah.
Well, and sorry, I gave you all the credit.
Again.
Yeah. No, I gave you all the credit for pointing it out.
Yes. So what are you guys saying? Are you guys saying there's going to be a giant like FedEx label on the box?
I'm thinking they put another box. They're going to put a box on it. In it.
I mean, you know, like, when we get some of those exclusives, they come from Amazon in a brown box that's labeled with what the thing is, and sometimes that is the actual product packaging. Like, there's not always a separate packaging inside of that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And either way, obviously, they had to make this box very thick and sturdy to hold up against this gigantic mistake of nature that they've created to put inside of it. But I think that being the case, they're also counting on this being able to survive the shipping process directly.
Were there any, I haven't watched the video, but out of curiosity, were there any like large blank spaces on this box where you could fit a shipping label without really defacing things?
I think the top, maybe.
Maybe.
Okay.
But the problem is, if you ever, you know, seen or got a FedEx or UPS package, they slap the label wherever they want. It could be right over. It could be right in the center of the box, right over Unicron's face. They don't care.
This is true.
Very true. So I think we should probably like address the elephant in the room here, which we've kind of mentioned offhandedly so far. So in this update, one of the designers or engineers who has been working on this project basically from the beginning is talking about the transformation process, and he says that for him, if he follows the instructions, it takes him about 50 minutes to go from planet mode to robot mode, and if he decides to try to, you know, ad-lib and not follow the instructions specifically, he tends to have to stop and go back and do steps over again. This is the person who on this continent is probably the most familiar with this thing, and it takes him almost an hour to do this with full documentation.
At the next convention, can we have a Unicron transforming contest?
Well, by the time we can have a next convention, people have had a lot of opportunity to practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But since it takes, with following the instructions, 50 minutes to an hour, that would be, you know, the... Yeah, that...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he also, you know, for obvious reasons, comes in planet mode, and for many people, he will be transformed one time. So, I guess you only have to suffer through that one time.
I only have to transform it one time.
Yeah, because you're getting two, so you can just leave the other one in planet mode and never have to worry about it.
See, you thought I was crazy. Now it sounds like a good idea, doesn't it?
No, I still think you're crazy.
No, it doesn't.
No, none of
really crazy at that price.
Okay, so, like, it's not a secret that I think that a toy as big as this Unicron is kind of a mistake unto itself. Like, it's too big to really interact with or, in my opinion, have fun with. The same way that most Titan-class figures are just difficult to really do anything with. Now, Scorponok's great, don't get me wrong. Like, they've improved the Titan model a whole lot over the past few years. But it's still big and awkward to handle, and that's comparatively simple compared to what we're hearing Unicron's going to be like. Like, 32 pages of instructions, some of the mock-ups they have there for the instruction layouts, it's not the layouts, but it's like the images that they're going to include in the instructions, they're numbered, and the highest number we see on one of those pages they photographed was, I think, 260. There's possibly 260 or more steps to Unicron's transformation, and it takes an hour and 32 pages of a book. It's not an instruction book anymore. It's an instruction tome.
That's great.
Yeah, though, I think
it takes an hour. It takes an hour if you don't miss any steps and therefore have to go back and try again.
And if you're intimately familiar with how it's built.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, we're getting our money's worth. No complaining.
I don't think y'all are seeing the real picture here. This is actually all a red herring, and it's a one-step changer.
Oh, yes, spring-loaded. I would actually, if they made a one-step changer that big, I actually probably would be intrigued, even at that price.
Yes, yes.
So, but this does kind of start to sound to me just from here, like kind of like that era of Japanese RPGs where playtime was equated to quality.
Ah.
You know?
You know what's confusing?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rob.
That's okay. I mean, he was just
being exasperated. It's fine.
Yeah, a little bit. That's just the crux of it, though. The fact that, you know, just kind of the the impressive soundingness of the stats kind of overtaking the thing itself, and that's, you know, definitely not my cup of tea in terms of Transformers.
Yeah, yeah, this kind of strikes me as we should have been careful what we wished for.
I never wished for this. Blade Raider points out Unicron will have as many steps as there are Pokemon. I mean, it's close. He's almost halfway there.
I mean, before we end, the one thing I want to say is I'm a little bit confused why that takes so many steps when I'm thinking about, like, the Zeta Cron that I have, that while everything folds away nice and neat, in my head, I don't think there's 200 steps transform that figure. Like, there's something, there's a disconnect in my head that instruction.
Well, remember, go ahead, Matt, go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, we've seen renders of this thing. There are a lot of panels to move around.
Mm-hmm. Each one of those is a step, too. I'm sure they're counting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, if you think about how Hasbro instructions are put together normally anyway, like, the things they will consider a step is turn the wrist 90 degrees. You know, that in itself can be a whole step sometimes. Yeah. So if we're thinking of it in that context, plus, I need to stress again, it's mock-up stuff they have. These are, you know, preliminary materials for making the instruction book. And even though that has image in it numbered to 260 or possibly more, it doesn't necessarily mean there is going to be that many individual steps in the documentation. Like, they can streamline that down, probably, you know, refine the process as they're going through that again. I mean, it's 32 pages. It's going to be a lot. But hopefully 32 pages is partly made up of, you know, like, big helpful pictures, too.
Well, one thing we have to remember is look at the way Hasbro does their instruction manuals. They'll count turning the figure around as a step.
Yeah. Or they'll count. Yeah, that's what I was saying.
You know, okay. Yeah, well, I dropped there for a second.
So sorry. Yeah, I was saying, like, turning the wrist 90 degrees can sometimes be a step unto itself.
Yeah, or both wrists is, like, step one, step two. Around or, you know, so yeah.
The other thing too with that is, so like with the some of the higher level Lego sets that have a booklet like that size, the page count is, you know, 20 plus pages. Each page has like what you would effectively call 1 to 2 steps. So they really, like, you know, draw it out for pictures and to make sure it's kind of foolproof. And so, you know, the process could be stretched way across all those pages. The pages themselves may not actually feel that dense. Hey, one thing that I am getting kind of increasingly antsy on with the Unicron is, you know, we've seen there are a few pictures, and I mean, like, maybe 1 to 3 pictures we've seen where he is doing something other than standing up straight, as if he's, you know, taking like a mugshot, like arms straight to his sides, him standing just effectively like straight up and down. We really haven't seen him do, even when attached to the stand in robot mode, we really haven't seen him posed in what you would call a dynamic or action pose. Not really. Like, everywhere we've seen him, including like toy shows and things like that, he's more or less been displayed straight up. So I'm getting a little antsy here about, like, what are his actual, like, ranges of posing, and like how much, like, weight can his shoulders and his joints, even on the stand, actually endure? Because I feel like we have yet to really see that robot mode in any kind of dynamic pose. Now, maybe we will at the very end, but we sure haven't yet. And I mean, I would prefer to pose him in something a little bit more interesting than what we've seen him. And so I kind of want to see that pretty quick here.
So as far as I understand, we're still in what they're calling the engineering pilot stage, which is like early test shot stuff. So even in this update, they were saying they were still having to, like, go back with the factory for some revisions to it based on issues they've uncovered with their latest sample. So I don't even think we're at, like, good viable test shot stage yet, which means probably one of the factors here is that the joints probably don't have a lot of load-bearing support yet. But as they get further into and closer to more final test shots and proofing samples, it probably will get better, and we may then see the robot mode able to do more things with or without the stand. I think it's just a little bit early days for that yet, and probably also they want to be careful with the samples they do have, since they're probably getting one or maybe two of these engineering pilot test shots at a time, and if one has a hip shear off, they're in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting that you know, even when they're using like the CAD model, the renders and stuff, they've been pretty conservative about how they've kind of presented that robot mode. So it'll be interesting to see the limits of it when it's actually like engineered and in front of them. But they've been pretty careful about kind of like suggesting he can do a lot in robot mode. So it'll be interesting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, that is also a concern I think a lot of us have had from the beginning too, just how dynamic can something this big be? Let's move on. If I can get back to the show notes and find out what's next. So we have a new recurring event that just started yesterday. So I did a news desk episode about this, episode 112. You can find the RFC news desk, of course, at tfradio.net/news or in your podcast feed of choice. 5 weeks of Transformers Tuesdays. So what is going to be happening, which started yesterday, we'll talk more about yesterday's event in a moment, on Instagram accounts, including Hasbro Pulse, Big Bad Toy Store, and Entertainment Earth, they're going to be revealing one generation selects figure every Tuesday from yesterday, as of when we're recording this, which was August the 11th, through September the 8th, I think it was? Yeah, September yep. the 8th. So our first one, which we had revealed and went up for pre-order yesterday, was Generation Selects Hot House, which is a straight redeco of Modulator Airwave. And opinions on this seem very mixed.
I love the colors, and I kind of just wish he didn't turn into a Neutat Zerif.
A what?
No, I mean, no, I get that reference. So in the documented alternate modes, all of them, there is a tampograph on the building portion that says fire station, except that it's upside down in all modes.
Yes, there's only one mode where it is. Brickinator pointed this out to me. There's one mode where it is not upside down, and that is the battle station mode where it is totally obscured by the rest of the figure.
Perfect.
It's awesome.
Yeah. This is a much better looking visually than Airwave. It's very G, like if Airwave is G1, then Hot House is G2 in just those color schemes. And I think I'll be picking up Hot House versus Airwave for sure.
Yeah, how fast did pre-orders sell out at Hasbro Pulse?
It seemed like within the first hour.
Hmm.
Like, there is definitely, if you were there when the announcement rolled out at 11 a.m. Eastern, there was absolutely plenty of opportunity to grab a pre-order from Pulse before the sellout. And even after it sold out on Pulse, it's still been available on other retailers.
Yeah, for sure. I was a little too slow for Pulse, so I got it from BBTS. So that's maybe a few bucks extra, but it's not buying from a scalper on eBay or anything. It was plenty accessible.
I ordered mine from Entertainment Earth because like they have the projected arrival date in October and everybody else has it in December, and I'm hoping that proves right.
Makes sense.
And so Entertainment Earth got me my hubcap in the, not the mail, but FedEx already, and I don't think anybody else has gotten that in stock yet, so you know.
Nice.
So I'm confused on this. Are these selects going to be exclusive to Entertainment Earth, like the 818? It's at Entertainment Earth. Are we going to have to go there to see what it is, or
to like, their Instagram account?
I don't understand. What's that?
So the debuts are happening on the referenced Instagram accounts, but
okay.
At the same time that the announcements are happening, they're being made live on the retail websites. And with Generation Selects, so far, as best I can remember, the only Generation Selects figure that has been exclusive to one specific retailer was Red Wing with the Target Red card. All the rest of them have been available at all the fan channel retail outlets. So I think that's going to end up being the case with all of these. So just because they're being revealed on the specific Entertainment Earth or Big Bad Toy Store Instagram accounts doesn't mean they're going to be exclusive to those retailers solely.
Got you.
Hopefully.
Good. Yeah, because I normally don't buy from Entertainment Earth just because of the shipping.
Yeah. the shipping is a thing. If you pony up for the FedEx home delivery shipping, the overall Entertainment Earth experience is better, but for a deluxe, that's $10 add-on, but Entertainment Earth also gets their stuff often a couple weeks before most of the other retailers. So if you're concerned about having the thing, you know, at the start of the process, it's a better bet to go with them, not that I, you know, am advertising for them. Maybe I should get a referral link for Entertainment Earth. I know they have an affiliate program.
Yes.
So we more or less know from inventory data mining what is probably coming up in the remaining reveals. So we got Hot House this week. Remaining is G2 Megatron, which is presumed to be a redeco of the Earthrise remold of Siege Megatron. We don't know what G2 Megatron color that's going to be in. I am hoping, but not hoping, for the green deco, because we haven't had a green G2 Megatron in quite a while.
Yes.
And
yeah,
I'd be able to repurpose that as a Generations Megastorm, because Beast Wars 2nd Megastorm was just the G2 tank Megatron with very, very slight differences.
Yeah, but it's on that Earthrise.
Well, yes, Megatron. And on that basis, I'm actually hoping that this G2 Megatron ends up being purple, because I don't need to buy another one of those. So, I mean,
that's fair.
Yeah, it's valid to hope against something that you don't want to buy.
I'll buy it as long as it's not the Siege mold. If it's the Siege mold, I'm out.
The worst part is, between the Siege and Earthrise molds, I think the Siege mold has a little bit of an edge in terms of appearance, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I could see that.
But I don't want to buy the Siege mold like a third or fourth time either, so there's no good options for this at the moment, tragically.
There's really not. So the other expected reveals are Bug Bite, which would be a redeco of the Bumblebee retool Cliff Jumper. Black Rorichi, which will be a redeco of Fast Track, and that's based on the version of Fast Track that came with Black Zarek. Apparently, there is one or more images of Black Rorichi that's being handed around behind the scenes, and nobody's being allowed to go public with yet. So Black Rorichi is described as being gold, whether that's paint or plastic, nobody can quite tell. Purple wheels, and I think black accents in place of silver.
Hmm.
All right. Well, Chris, I saw that name, but didn't recognize what the name meant. I was thinking a black Ironhide or something. I didn't know what the context was till you just said that. Since we've got Fast Track, and now we're getting the black and gold apparent repaint, are we looking at possibly getting a black Zarek from Scorponok? I mean, I can't imagine why they would redo a Scorponok think colored figure. I mean, a black Zarek colored figure that's that important for his Trident spear, and us not get a black Zarek.
I mean, it could be something on Takara Tomy's back burner, like they did with Grand Maximus.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if Hasbro would be participating beyond just, you know, carrying it on Pulse, but it would still be like Super Megatron, a Takara Tomy initiated project. Like, I absolutely am not ruling out that Black Zarek could be a thing that becomes available to us in some capacity in the next 12 months, but not directly from Hasbro, I don't think. The fifth reveal we assume is going to be Ratchet, which would just be the Ratchet version of Earthrise Ironhide.
Works for me.
Yeah. We don't really have a good indication of what might be revealed what week. I think G2 Megatron's probably going to be week 3, though, via Big Bad Toy Store, because it's going to be the biggest figure of the set, and they only get one reveal, where Pulse and Entertainment Earth are both doing two each, so that seems like a logical trade-off to make. But we'll be keeping an eye on that over the next 4 weeks now, and you know, it'll be on the News Desk podcast when applicable, or regular RFC news updates, so be sure to subscribe or bookmark to keep up with all that content. Let's see, what else do we have here? Anybody else have any thoughts on Hot House before we move on?
Yeah.
Anybody besides Diecast? No, I'm just kidding.
Why did Hasbro Pulse not get enough of these? I mean, there's other Selects figures that are still available. Especially if you think of yourself as a Hasbro Pulse premium member,
like, I have free shipping through them, so I want to try and get it through them.
Yeah.
And it sold out. Honestly, I think I was, like, I checked it an hour after the event, I think, because I was on lunch, and it was already sold out.
Yeah, that's why I was basing my estimate that sold out within the first hour on.
Yeah, and I'm looking at other selects that are still in stock, like Exhaust, which was a very good select. I wouldn't have been surprised if that sold out within, you know, an allotted amount of time. But this is really the first select that I know of that sold out within the first hour.
I think Grease Pit also pre-sold out.
It did pre-sell out, but I don't think it was sold out within the first hour.
No, I don't think so.
Anthony from TFU.info seemed to think that Zatar sold out relatively quickly.
Yeah, that one did.
But
faster than Nightbird. I mean,
it's kind of frustrating that, especially because it was unexpected for me to be, you know, like I got the email probably 45 minutes after the event happened. So by the time I got the email and went to the website, it was already sold out.
Right.
Don't send me an email saying to go get it. You sold out.
Yeah, I don't
frustrating.
Know. I don't know why Hot House sold out as fast as it did on Pulse, unless it is just because most people preferred to get it from Pulse because they had premium and free shipping. It's also possible there is some connection to the, you know, bot-powered scalping efforts we've seen elsewhere, and it was a slower process on Pulse because they do limit to 2 per order. And since Hasbro Pulse's Instagram was the point of contact, basically, for the launch of this, that probably would have been where the main traffic would be driven to, would be Pulse itself. That's just speculation on my part. This could just be a little bit lower quantity.
Like I said, that doesn't make sense why Exhaust is still available, and what's the Hubcap? Is that the yellow one that we're going to get?
Yeah.
That's still available. There was, I think, Tiger Tracks is available. Maybe that one
Rotor Storm is sold out.
Yeah, but I mean, it's weird. Yeah,
yeah, it really is. I thought Hot House's colors were really nice, so maybe that does have something to do with it. But just it is kind of odd that that's the one to sell out first. I don't understand it myself.
I mean, we may be onto something with that, because Grease Pit did pre-sell out, even if not as quickly. Rotor Storm has pre-sold out, and Hot House pre-sold out. All of them have really eye-catching, vibrant color scheme. You know, maybe there is something to that.
Yeah.
It'd be weird if the answer actually was that simple, but, you know, zebras in the park.
Yeah.
So moving on, RFC News Desk, episode 113, our first looks at Earthrise Bluestreak, and boy, did that go places. So basically, a few days ago, there was an eBay listing giving us our first perspective look at Earthrise Bluestreak, but it was just a Bluestreak-colored smokescreen.
Oops.
Yeah, it was product renders, as is often the case these days. It made me reflect back, too, because, like, 2015, BotCon 2015 was pretty much the first time Hasbro had done that, released renders of the toys instead of actual photos of painted test shots for the press kit, because that's how we got our first direct look at Combiner Wars Bruticus. But I digress. So people were confused, and there was even some calls that it might have been a fake, but since the pose and angles of the renders were different from any smokescreen images we had before, that seemed unlikely to begin with. So just yesterday, on the 11th, In Demand Toys posted on their Facebook a photo of a Bluestreak in box. It was a new stock photo. And that one, fortunately, it has the Prowl car and body parts. So it's going to look like the correct Bluestreak. It's not going to have the smokescreen extended bumper and thicker head.
Hmm.
So all is well with that, and this Bluestreak looks pretty nice.
Yeah.
So nobody has been able to say outright where Bluestreak is going to end up. In Demand Toys did update their post to say that it is going to be an exclusive toy somewhere and not in a normal assortment, which I kind of already had put together anyway because of its serial number, WFC E32, which is part of a block of 8 serial codes for the Earthrise toys that falls between the normal retail waves 2 and 3. And then it's four-digit product code, E7463. You can tell I've recorded information about this earlier because I'm just pulling these numbers off the top of my head. but E7463 falls right in between two other Amazon-exclusive Earthrise figures, Alternate Universe Optimus Prime and the Autobot Alliance 2-pack, the Ironhide and Prowl set. So, yeah, this is probably going to be an Amazon exclusive based on that.
That's great, because I think the Amazon exclusives are the easiest to get.
Yeah, because I was looking a little bit earlier, and it was just today that the Ramjet and Dirge set pre-sold out on Amazon, and that may just be a case of they're getting ready to start filling the pre-orders, so they're closing off additional pre-orders until they do that and confirm how much they have left over to continue to sell.
Oh, yeah, because they're coming out in like
the release date is Monday, days. I think.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday. It's the 15th.
Oh, the 15th. Wow.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I can't believe I forgot about that because I ordered it right away, and that was, what, 3 weeks ago?
Well, yeah, so, like, I understand forgetting about that because a lot of the pre-orders we get are for farther out than that. Like, that was announced and was going to be like, oh, that's like a month away.
Yeah.
We don't really get stuff that close a lot of the time anymore. Like, the Autobot Alliance set is November, and they were announced at the same time. And I forgot to mention this during the Hot House segment, but, like, that's... I kind of did mention it. Like, December most places and October if it's Entertainment Earth, but that's, you know, pretty far out still either way.
Oh, yeah.
Something I feel like it's worth going over here that I heard you talk about, saw you talk about to somebody on Twitter, is they suggested there was a possibility this could be a Walgreens exclusive, and you had a pretty good reasoning for as to why that wouldn't be.
Oh, yeah. So, for the last several years of getting Walgreens exclusives, there's been a distinct pattern. We didn't have it with Brainstorm because we didn't know to look for it at the time, but basically about a year in advance, we would get a text listing for the following year's Walgreens Transformers exclusive. Rob Springer usually was the point of contact in getting that information out from one of his sources. We didn't have that last winter at all. Yeah. And we also learned at some point, I think prior to last winter, that the toy buyer for Walgreens, who had been responsible for making the exclusive purchases for the last several years, left the company to go work somewhere else. I think it was revealed where he went, but I don't remember off the top of my head. So probably with him gone just on its own is the end of the kind of Walgreens exclusive Hasbro stuff we've been used to seeing for the last few years. And with no listing popping up in advance, that's another nail in the coffin for having a Transformers exclusive this year. Plus, every year there's been a Transformers exclusive, it's appeared in Hong Kong and Canada, if not other places, by July or August of the same year. And there's been nothing popped up in any of those places that is not otherwise accounted for. So, unfortunately, if you're looking forward to a Walgreens exclusive to fill some kind of collection hole this year, like with Ratchet last year or Wreck-Guard the year before that, sorry?
Yeah. That was actually me, Rob. I'm the one that brought that up on the Twitter.
Okay.
Because I was asking, because that seemed to me that's something that none of us had gave a thought to as Walgreens being the outlet. And that's what I was thinking.
Okay, yeah. I saw the response, but I did not see the original question, but I thought it was good information that was worth passing on.
It's okay. I'm glad you asked him. I didn't even remember the conversation happened until you mentioned it. But that's just par for the course for me. 20 minutes after we're off the Skype call later, I won't remember half of what I said during the show tonight. So
yeah, I'm pretty much the same, except on those occasions when it's like, oh my God, did I really say that?
So back to Blue Streak. In-Demand Toys did say that they thought Blue Streak would be available for pre-order at least around September. So we may not have long to wait to learn the actual disposition of this, but I'm betting Amazon. So Diecast, this next news item came courtesy of you over email, although I've had it come across my desk from a couple other people in the meantime. But why don't you tell us about this one?
So the Transformers Red Collection, the pre-orders or the orders are pushed back from Walmart. Walmart sent out an email saying they're pushed back to September 10th, which is, well, it's already past the date that they were supposed to be released. So,
yeah, what, the 6th?
Yeah, we all knew something was going on. We're like, huh, we didn't get those figures that were supposed to be out. But yeah, that's pushed back to September 10th. We never got such notice with those Netflix figures that Chris told me today that apparently some people are starting to report getting. I am not one of those people.
Yeah, one of our Discord members was talking about that this afternoon, tfradio.net/Discord. Maybe something you say will end up in the show one week.
Yeah, so I'm kind of jealous because I'm still waiting for two scrap faces to complete my trio of scrap faces.
Fortunately, I had help from friends to amass my trio of scrap faces.
Yeah, they were probably the hardest to get.
Yeah, I think they were one per carton.
Yeah.
So,
which is, you know, yeah, troop builders. So yeah, thanks.
It'd be great if somebody did a set of knockoff extra parts from the special refractor release go on scrap face.
Yeah, I know at least one of the add-on party outfits, maybe even Dr. Wu, was designing a set of camera parts for the reflector molds. So it's possible one of them will, you know, adapt and adjust the colors for the Netflix versions. But, like, we interpret Scrapface as being a troop builder character. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in Hasbro's mind, that may not be the case. And, of course, Hasbro is not marketing Scrapface in any way, as far as I know, that there is a mode you can do with three of the figures together.
I think you're right.
So, by that logic, being packed one per case is not that strange. It's not nearly as bad as when the Siege Wave with Reflector came out and there was only two of them in the case.
Oh.
But, you know, plenty of us were able to get three of those without really much of a problem. I got mine through Amazon, and then, of course, there was the actual three-pack that was meant to do the camera thing right out of the box, which was so nice-looking, too.
It is.
What did they do really with mine? Huh. I bought a lot of stuff last year, and I don't remember where half of it is now.
Hmm.
Okay, so our last thing is another diecast edition. Something about Dr. Robotnik and how he's really expensive for Sonic to fight. I don't know.
It's Dr. Egg, which is the X-Transbots judge figure, I guess you should call it.
Judge
Judy? Quintesson.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, the Quintesson. It goes up for pre-order from stores like TF Source, and it's a non-transforming figure. So it's basically the same as the $30 Hasbro Quintesson Judge that's coming out. Only this one has lights and sound and a very large price tag of $175.99. Whoa. So $175 for a third-party non-transforming figure.
I don't know. Diecast, have you seen a lot of the third-party figures lately? The pricing is getting really skewed. I mean, you know, stuff that 2 months ago was $80 is now like $200. And I don't know what could be. I mean, that figure is not $175 at all. But I don't know if there's something going on that we're not privy to. I mean, it's not just the shipping; it's the actual base price of the figures.
Yeah, something's going on because that's expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if that was sent to be like maybe, and because Chris, you've brought this up before, and you've talked about the pros and cons. Maybe that price is for two. Like, you know, maybe it was sent and it was like the wholesale price is like maybe a case of two is $175 or something, and they posted the wrong price. But I know you've shot that down before for various reasons, but.
Multiple retailers have posted this $175 price.
Right,
so,
I'm thinking they posted the, but I mean, I can't think of any reason this figure would cost that. Not when you can buy their other transforming figures that have more parts and more mass than this for the same money or less.
Maybe they had to rotocast this like the Fans Project Dino Force Pretender shells.
Or it could be that. Because it doesn't transform, it is a mass of solid plastic, which just more to produce, heavier to ship.
I can't believe they'd be that stupid.
Well, to be fair, it has multicolored lights. It has a sound clip that says guilty or innocent, which that kind of, to me, might make someone stop and say, hey, you can't use that. You know, that's from our movie.
Also, but it's the wrong character's line. That's the squid head prosecutor that says guilty or innocent, not the judge.
Right. The remote, because it has a motor in it which spins the heads around.
Oh.
The remote is the spaceship from Junkion. No, not Junkion. The other one. The corkscrew ship. And that actually controls the Dr. Egg, which I've seen a charger going into it, so I'm assuming there's a battery in there, which is how the remote works. So, I mean, there are a bunch of features in it.
Yeah.
The battery makes it difficult. Like, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to buy this from Taobao, because if it has a battery in it, especially that's probably like a lithium ion battery or something.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It's a big problem. So I'm just not sure about. I think it's probably about $120 is what I would say would be a fair price for everything I see. Right.
If it doesn't transform at all, having the motor and the electronics in it, yeah, I mean, I could probably see $120, but like, as you were describing more of those, like, you know, technical features, like, I was thinking, yeah, the price is starting to make a little more sense, because we know from name brand genuine Transformers stuff that electronics just add a lot to the cost without really giving a lot back to the toy's real play value. And, you know, Hasbro has dropped electronics in almost all of their regular Transformers line. And even Takara doesn't really touch that very much anymore. Like, some masterpieces will still have something electronic to them. But even that's getting fewer and fewer. So I could see all of those elements being leading to an unusually high price like that. But given the price point it landed at, I would just as soon say they probably shouldn't have.
And like you said, shipping is probably going to add some extra logistical cost because they have to go by boat. You can't ship these.
Yeah, so within the U.S., you can mail stuff with lithium-ion batteries under certain circumstances if it's declared and labeled beforehand so that the courier knows to take special precautions with that package. A lot of times that does incur an extra cost because there is more complicated handling. For international postage, I think lithium batteries are a no-no for, like, airmail. So there shouldn't be any problem for stores in the U.S. or North America in general to get these in stock, because they will get them by cargo ship. But yeah, if you wanted to save a few dollars theoretically and get one off of Taobao or something, yeah, I don't know if that's going to be workable. Yeah, I think there might have been some conceptual mistakes made with Dr. Egg.
Yeah, a little. Over, I hate to say over-engineered because we use that for transformation purposes, but
maybe we should just say that their reach exceeded their grasp.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just have they didn't put all their eggs in one basket.
Well, if you'd like to buy some eggs, such as Cadbury cream eggs, you can do so on Amazon using our affiliate link, tfradio.net/Amazon. I know there's Cadbury cream eggs on Don's wish list at tfradio.net/massyattack. Rob, did you have Cadbury cream eggs on your list?
I did at one point at tfradio.net/claylist, but I took them off after a while just because the price kind of went up to someplace I thought was unreasonable for a little bit.
Yeah, and having that many on hand to make your blood sugar go up to someplace that was unreasonable.
Yeah, yes, very likely so.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm type 2 diabetic, and having them in the apartment would be bad enough, because I mean, when I was younger, I could eat five or six at one time. I can't do that now.
Don, when I was young, I would eat 10 or 12 at one time.
Yes.
Wow. And when I was young, they were still big, too. Like, it's not like the ones you get today that are about half the size they used to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But actually, I found something I like almost as good as Cadbury cream eggs. So it's Cowtails. I did not know they were basic. I did not know they were basically Getz caramel creams. I had no idea they were.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
yeah, I've had those a few times. They're not bad. They're not something I would like go out of my way for. But like, if somebody offered me one, yeah, sure. Like,
oh yeah,
those are pretty inoffensive. And if I say something's inoffensive, it must be pretty good.
Mm.
I don't know if you can buy those on Amazon, but if you can, tfradio.net/Amazon. All of your purchases send a tiny, tiny amount of money back to us to help keep the show running. And it gets tinier all the time. That's what she said.
And I got dropped again, sorry.
It's okay, I was just making jokes I shouldn't be. Of course, the other thing that keeps the show running is Patreon, and we would like to thank all of our patrons at the Touched level. Kevin Dorsey, Sean Bratton, Jacob Owen Lutia, Sean Hamilton, Jason W. Rye, Mike Mallory, Jason Hiley, Jonathan James, Matthew Deadman, Hector Bones, Nathan Sampy, Spider Bob, Rabbits, Emmett Shresovich, I think I got that slightly wrong, sorry, Gaming Fix, Patrick Davidson, and Joey Russell. It's thanks to people like you and all of our patrons who we value very greatly that we are able to keep doing the show, have things like the RFC News Desk. Me and Rob have paying jobs here, you know, really good stuff like that. If you would like to become a patron, maybe at the Touch level, so we read your name out on the show every week, you can join up at patreon.com/tfradio. And of course, you can find all of our patrons at the Touch level on tfradio.net/credits to see who's been kicking into the show at any time. Oh, and of course, don't forget to buy some t-shirts or masks or mugs, mouse pads, things like that at tfradio.net/shirt. John DeLuna has produced so many awesome designs for us that you literally can't buy them all. You would go broke, and then you couldn't become a patron. So of course, once again, I will plug our Discord because it's the main place we watch chat during the live stream. It's the only place I watch chat during the live stream. So if you were on the YouTube chat this week, sorry, nobody from the show is monitoring, I don't think. Come join us on Discord, tfradio.net/Discord. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/tfradio. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Roku, Fire TV, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeartRate. I swear, Brian has made some of these up. Like, all these cannot possibly be real, but if it exists, RFC is on there and you can find us. I have no idea how, but it's possible. It exists. It has mass and form. It can be destroyed or subscribed to, depending on your choice.
Mm.
You can find this episode and the relevant show notes at tfradio.net/687. You can find the show notes for any episode of RFC at tfradio.net/the episode number. So if you wanted to like go listen to episode 500, you'd go to tfradio.net/500. Isn't that simple? If you would like to send us a voicemail or leave us a text message, or send us a text message or leave us a voicemail, well, one or the other. If you would like to communicate with us in non-real time, you can do so at 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. We try to respond to all the inquiries or feedback we get through that, and sometimes we will answer things on the show, but a lot of times Brian just answers directly because he, you know, can do that. He has time. Time is, of course, the fire in which we burn, which I had to complete that reference myself because neither Brian nor Matt are here at the moment. You can find me on Twitter personally at ChrisRTXV. I also am on the internet with my photography hobbies at playwithphotography.com. Most recently, I have a gallery up for Generation Select's Rotor Storm. That got a lot of attention over the last week because I think I might have actually been the first person to put out a high-quality gallery for that toy since only a handful of people have Rotor Storm right now because of that one shop in Maryland that somehow got some retail ready ones on hand. I have no idea how that works, but I'm not going to complain or scrutinize the situation very much.
I'm going to think they ordered like another Selects and they open the box and they're like, oh, here's, you know, however many are in a box. If it's like 12 per box.
I don't know. That seems even weirder though, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not going to complain because I have this Rotor Storm and the quality control on it turned out really nice and the colors are beautiful and I'm super happy with it. So go check out my gallery at playwithphotography.com. You can also check out Play With Photography on social media, instagram.com/playwithphotography or at playwithphotos on Twitter. If you like the work I do and want to help me do more of it or just show some support, I am on Patreon at patreon.com/playwithphotos. You can pitch in for as little as $2 per month. Of course, higher tiers have more and different rewards. Brian is not here, but you can find his works and, you know, look upon his works and despair at briankilby.com. He keeps threatening us with Christmas albums. I don't really know much about that, but I know I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable. But yeah, Diecast, why don't you plug your stuff again, even though you kind of got half of one in earlier?
Yeah, I got half. You can follow me on Twitter at Diecast2, where I complain about the price of third-party figures. You can see my reviews or fix videos, in this case, for Transform Element TE03 Speedstar at tfradio.net/reviews. You can like my Facebook page, where I also complain about prices and talk about my reviews at facebook.com/reviewsbydiecast. And then I think I'm probably forgetting something, but that's good enough for this week.
John DeLuna.
That John D everywhere.
Good. I was afraid you hadn't actually made it back yet.
He really is that John D everywhere, because I was needing some friends on Pokemon Go, and he was at that John D on Pokemon Go. I was very impressed.
Well, great. Now he's just going to be inundated with friend requests on Pokemon Go.
I'm maxed out on friends. Ah, joke's on everybody else.
I see Don unmuted, so Don, why don't you go next?
Yeah, I'm waiting for my Digimon Go. I'm waiting for the superior entertainment experience.
There are Digimon video games, just not, you know, mobile platform.
Good
like
ones. Yeah, not good ones.
Should have kept that PS4. There's a couple of good ones for that, I understand.
Yeah, it's all probably adventures or something. Anyway, I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4EVR.
Rob?
Okay, I am on Twitter at Rob Flails, which is the official Twitter of Flail Throughs, my YouTube channel. I am currently covering two Gundam games, Gundam Battle Operation 2, the free-to-play Gundam shooter I've been covering since launch, and Gundam Extreme Versus Maxi Boost On, which just came out a couple weeks ago. It's the latest in the Gundam Versus series, or at least the latest home release for it. And if you like what I'm doing there and you want to request specific mobile suits in either one, patreon.com/flailthroughs will let you do that. And of course, I do have the Amazon wish list at tfradio.net/clay.
tfradio.net/claylist, since you cut out there a little bit.
Thank you. Yes, that's what I said, but yeah, cut out.
And of course, Rob Springer, who is not here, can be found on Twitter at RoboRobSpringer or at zonebase.org. Rob, I looked at your first Cubelay video after you had just gotten it, and boy, that does seem like it plays just like it did in the Versus series.
It's very similar, and it's really, I think I even said in the video, once people get good with that, it's going to be terrifying.
Yeah.
It's just, it can put out a lot of damage very quickly. As frequently happens when new things like this get announced, people are already talking about seeing it nerfed in a couple of weeks. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. And it's like the second thing that's been introduced at that cost, which is the highest cost in the game, currently 650 points. And yeah, it's a monster. And I'm just looking forward to seeing what we get at 650 next that might help counter it.
Have you been able to play it in a space stage yet?
I've played it a little bit, but I really need to try again and get something a little bit better than I have, because I did not do well. Just the first day it came out, everybody had one, and just they all figured out to focus one Cubely at a time and incinerate it, and I had a lot of that going.
I'm
going to have to give that another try.
I mean, that's a sensible tactic, to be fair.
It absolutely is, and I wish the teams I was on had gotten to that a little faster than they did. But that's okay. just the nature of, you know, free to play team shooters in general. Just finding a team of random strangers that you gel with is one half the battle and two a mirror.
Yeah, so hey, it's more free to play shooter more than it is free to play team shooter.
Yeah, to a large extent.
And hey, I don't know if anyone's interested, but Hasbro Pulse did put up that Tiger Generation 2 Transformers game for $14.99. So you're looking for that and you weren't able to get it at GameStop, you can go over to Hasbro Pulse and pick that up.
GameStop wasn't gonna be in.
The Hasbro Toy Shop eBay store has had that in stock too, and $14.99 just happens to be their free shipping threshold. So
nice.
Hey Rob, the Quimby, that's the one from the first season of Build Fighters that Aya piloted in the finals. With the big shoulder pads.
No, that was the Kshatriya variant, I think. The Cubile is Haman Karn's mobile suit from Zeta Gundam.
I thought Isla had a Cubile variant, but I can't remember.
It was pink, I remember that. And it had invisible funnels.
Yeah, I remember the invisible funnels. Maybe it was a Cubile dressed up like a Kshatriya.
Cubile Papillon, is that what it was?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think I found it. And yeah, the base model is similar. The shoulders are not quite as complicated. And it does not have that lance weapon. But yeah, that is the Cubile. And yeah, the funnels are basically its stock and trade in this game. It can attack from a distance. It can set those on people to attack. You can basically lock onto them to attack and go hide. Or you can just have them orbit you and fire a bunch of little minor damage beams repeatedly. And that's what people are really complaining about in terms of possibly needing a nerf, is that a lot of beam weapons in the game are heat-based. You fire them a certain number of times without overheating, and you can fire those about 5 times in a row at a potential damage of about 2,000 damage per fire without overheating.
Oh, that's going to get balanced down real fast, probably.
Yeah,
it was like that.
Yeah, some of the highest hit point totals in the game for mobile suits at this point are like 20,000, so... You can see as how that can be a problem if somebody has really good aim. I have not had really good aim with those, but it's there. I have definitely faced people who have. And since I forgot to mention this, and we're on the subject, every Thursday morning is when Gundam Battle Operation 2 updates. So check out my channel then to see what mobile suit has been added to the game this week. There is a new one every week.
Well, I'll have to run out eventually.
Yeah.
Or maybe not, because UC Gundam is a mess. Anyway, that'll be the show for this week. Thanks for watching, and, sorry I hosted instead of Brian. I'm sure he won't let me next week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Take care, everybody.
Take care.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Transformers. It's better than crack.